It's not the pale moon that excites me, that thrills or delights me. Oh no, it's the nearness of you. It's not your sweet conversation that wins this sensation. Oh no, it's the nearness of you. I need no soft lights to enchant me, baby, if you would just grant me the right to hold you ever so tight and to feel.
Good morning, welcome to the Sunday, May 15th, 2016 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. Lied to about his hip. What they did to me days before they killed him. But what was the precipitating event? They'd been torturing him with EMF for decades. And those guys are sadists. What they did to me showed exactly what they did. They ran that laser into Prince, into his back, into his hip. My left thigh still burns because of it. My heart still aches at what they did to him. Sisters and brothers, do we have an inherent right to freedom, to light, to truth? Prince, following biblical or at least New Testament or at least St. John's, my knowledge of the Bible is abysmal, usage, referred to the body as the temple, the dwelling place of God, of love, of reverence. The biblical story we refer to because Prince did during the May 1, 2016 show from the book of St. John to help us understand the meanings in his song, Thieves in the Temple, is also sometimes called the cleansing of the temple. One of the questions we're asking today is whether this cleansing of the temple is the substance of the evolutionary energy attributed to all prophets who are necessarily underclass. Those who hear the call of our inherent freedom, the earth speaking in us and cannot, for whatever reason, turn away from it. Do we have an inherent right to freedom? If we were free, wouldn't that be a question we would discuss when we were growing up? As an exercise, at the very least, in thought's development, a practice of thought engagement at some point occurring during our procession, every step of the way we're supposed to celebrate our advance into a more secure for power, slavery, into an adult world of limit and sorrow, as Mark Doty put it, which it would not be if discussion were free. Do we need leaders to answer these questions for us? Why? Or as I'm sure some will tell us, is there no such thing as freedom? Though we watch the birds and study their movements and see no strings attached to them. Once we start pulling at the threads of the authentic questions that power is determined to keep out of our hands, away from our paths, because they're attached to the tattered ends of that cloak of shame called not good enough, power forces us to wear. Once we start to see those loose threads hanging there, those questions, quite obvious once we have the time to look, the cloak is easily shed, tattered ends and all, once we start pulling on them. But first we have to see the questions. And power is determined to control the images, the messages, the thoughts, the discussions that reach young people. This has become arguably power's chief obsession. Plato, Bentham, and now Kissinger explain why. In order to make be, force into being, the future they want to see. And to see it achieved with themselves installed on top, they must make us. And they start with the children, keeping truth from them. It is a single truth, and so a single opposite, operating premise, authority, class. A single counter-truth, falseness, that the prophets of all religions are reacting to, who see that we are meant to be free, that all have a right to develop their gifts unhindered and without limit, as they see fit, without coercion. All of which is prevented from so being by folks who literally take over our bodies. And Bentham said that one of his crowning achievements was that he had identified almost all of the levers by which we could be manipulated, turned into puppets. They've been thinking about this for a while. We have not been allowed to think at all. And so what does it authentically mean, we are asking, to defend them, our bodies, ourselves? And in the answer is merged everything, all spheres of the social relations of class, antisocial ethics, politics, economics. And power is determined to destroy those who, like Prince, answer that question by claiming full ownership of their own bodies, which is what artist means. An artist can have no other master and be an artist. Truth must be their currency, love their fuel. The invasion of our bodies as a global class, society-wide process of forced relinquishment necessarily requires massive censoring, massive lying, total withholding of the truth. And as Emily Dickinson well knew, a disappearing of those who manifest the one truth, who offer to youth the model of honoring oneself and the gifts the earth gives only. And all of our words for God, in essence, mean the earth. As on earth we dwell, of earth we are. From earth we learn, to earth we return. The earth is all, eternal and infinite. I died for beauty, but was scarce adjusted in the tomb, when one who died for truth was laying in an adjoining room. He questioned softly why I failed, died. For beauty, I replied, and I for truth, themself are one, we brethren are, he said. And so as kinsmen met a night, we talked between the rooms, until the moss had reached our lips and covered up our names. And that's Emily Dickinson's 449. She knew what they would do with her legacy. For one thing, call her crazy. And I have no doubt if by some chance, by some miraculous chance, it gets out the truth about Prince's death, that he knew he was being targeted with EMF, they'll say the same about him.